G'day there, and welcome to Songcatcher.
It's just after 9 o'clock on a Monday night. That means on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM, digital and online, that means you're with Songcatcher.
Yeah, and you can see we're both switched on because we miss Claire. She normally does all this stuff, and we just have to sit there and think, ah, yeah, it's happening. So I hope all is well at home, Claire, with your plumbing problem. Anyway, Songcatcher, of course, is about having a songwriter guest, and we have one of them too. Very fortunate in that. He's with us right now. He started playing piano as a teenager at high school. I think that was his first musical experience. But he turned to guitar, turned to the dark side somewhere down the track.
I had a piano, and once upon a time ago, I sold it to buy an electric guitar.
Oh. Can you be forgiven for such things, hey?
Well, it's turned out to be a pretty good decision since then, so yeah, I hope so.
Ah, well, very, very good. And I think turned from things like Metallica to things more gentle and acoustic.
Yep. Everyone at the high school I came from were playing surf, thrash, grunge, heavy metal, and for a while I did, but eventually I wanted to do something a bit different.
We're allowed to mention it. That was Brighton High?
Yeah, Brighton High.
Haven't paid the bribe yet. We can't mention it without the bribe. We've only got cash for comments here, sorry.
But no, now it's called Brighton Secondary anyway, so it's all completely irrelevant.
Very good. So, welcome along, Dana O'Shea.
Thank you very much, Clayton.
Oh, it's good I got his name right.
Okay, that's a start, hey.
Yeah, I sometimes get my name right in the morning too, Dana. So
it takes a couple of practice goes.
Well, after the first cup of coffee, you know how it goes. So Brighton's renowned these days as having a fairly specialist music program.
Yeah, when I signed up in year eight, I got told I could play an instrument if I wanted to, and everyone said, I want to play guitar, I want to play drums. They said, no, you're not going to. So they said, can you play piano? I said, no. They said, well, you will now. I had a classical teacher trying to tell me to keep my fingernails short, and if I was late for a lesson, I was in trouble, and I never practiced. But when I started playing guitar, all of a sudden everything was different. I didn't want to do anything but practice.
So for piano, it was a chore.
Yeah, hated it.
You weren't offered banjo.
They weren't that cruel.
Save that question up for next week.
Funny enough, though, the teacher took me under his wing the most was a banjo player. So, you know, I did come across that.
Very good.
Yeah, we're going to struggle with this next week, I can tell, Adrian. Never mind. So, what did you learn in your piano lessons that you were able to transfer to guitar?
Almost nothing, except for basic theory. So I can understand. I've had people ask, can you teach me to play a little bit? And I'm thinking, well, I didn't really learn to play piano and guitar in the same way. Everything I was doing with piano was theory-based, and with guitar I was learning from a blues teacher. So the two things didn't really...
So one was by ear and by feel, or by tab, or how was it?
Oh, I don't know, just my teacher said, you'll like this, and I'd learn it.
Here, follow this.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yes, and put me on to some great bands. And
you don't see too many people learning piano that way. But some people do learn by ear.
I've never met anyone who does that. Actually, one person, but yeah.
There you go. So, not a lot of good information transfer, but the music theory stuff, has it been helpful?
But it's been getting worse and worse over the years. When I was playing sort of 10, 20 years ago, it made a lot of sense to me, and since then my theory has slipped terribly. I couldn't read a page of music. I can follow a chord chart, but that's about it.
Mm. So you went to Brighton, you started playing piano because that's what was provided, that's what you had the option of.
It was.
And about how long did it take you before you decided to move to this dark side of guitar?
I started playing piano in year 8 and I started playing guitar in year 10.
So a couple of years of it.
Yeah, but not really. I didn't do enough.
Not the practice.
Mm. What about music at home when you were growing up, Dana?
I was more interested in video games as a kid, and still to this day I perhaps am still very interested in video games.
What was video games at that point in time when you were
Commodore
a kid?
64. I don't know if you remember one of them. A lot of people would.
That's very early day video games, in the sense of that's probably the first video game many homes could ever
have. No, I had a Commodore Plus 4 before that, which was even crappier.
Wow. I can't even remember a Commodore Plus 4.
It had a little tape deck with it. No discs. It was all done by tape.
Jolly.
We're getting into history now, and we'll line you up, of course, for your next interview with Radio Adelaide's Vintage Electronic Gaming Show. That'll be your next challenge, mate. Ah, music. What were your parents listening to, and did they play music too?
Oh, Mum had a box of old records, things like, you know, Led Zeppelin and James Taylor and the Doobie Brothers and all that sort of stuff. And my guitar teacher put me onto a lot of stuff from the 70s as well. So when a lot of people get into the modern metal things, I was looking to, you know, old...
You're turning the other direction.
Yeah, yeah, which was unusual for someone my age and in the social circles I was in. But when everyone else started into heavy grunge and metal, I got into acoustic bands.
Hmm. And what did your parents think of that?
I don't know. I don't know.
They probably were really happy that you didn't play loud electric guitar with lots of distortion.
But I did. I did it when I was at home.
You save that up for home, and it's only changed when you move out of home.
Yes.
And you have to tolerate the neighbours' complaints, perhaps.
Yeah, but at the moment it's okay. I'm in a pretty good place with practice spots.
Okay. Well, we'll learn a little bit more about Dana's music background as we go this evening, but as is our way, we have to interrupt the chat with some music from time to time.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. And it looks like we've got waiting for a song called A Kiss Goodnight.
Yeah.
It's you're the call.
Okay. Good night and smile, broken but truth. I'd love to fall from this height of my fall, broken by youth. Do what I believe is right for a smile, broken but truth. All for kiss good night. No, I won't do you no harm. No, I won't do you no harm. Just lend me your heart and I will give you my all. All for a kiss, good night, a smile, broken but truth. And love to fall from this height at my fall, broken by youth. Do what I believe is right for a smile, broken but truth. All for a kiss, good night.
That's Dana O'Shea with a song called A Kiss Goodnight, live in the studio at Radio Adelaide.
That went heaps better than I thought it would, but it was a bit shaky.
That's normally a 10-minute song?
No. It's got room for a guitar solo as well, look at it.
But it's a bit hard to do the guitar solo when you're playing the rhythm and you're trying to do the other. Or maybe you need a kazoo or something, Dana.
Like a little harmonica? And a little
break, or something like that, yeah.
Hippie, folky thing?
Yeah. Maybe. Or maybe not, as the case may be. So you went through Brighton doing a bit of music, and once you'd switched on to guitar, obviously music started to be a bit more for you, and you used to practice and things, which was something new.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did that happen for all of your lessons, or was it just music and guitar?
What do you mean?
Well, did you do your homework?
No. I used to fence on Wednesday nights, and I quit that so I'd have more time to practice.
You used to?
Fence, you know.
Oh, okay. With
One of the Three Musketeers.
Okay, very good.
So did that lead to playing in bands or anything like that at that time?
Yeah. I've quit every band I've ever been in, one at a time. But, yeah.
But there was a school band that you became involved with, or did you have to leave school to do that?
No, that was all done in lunchtime rehearsals. Because Brighton had a fairly decent special music centre, and there's practice rooms you could take over during lunch and practice there.
It's pretty damn convenient, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very encouraging, really. And instruments and amps and things you could use, or?
Yep. Oh, we brought in guitars that had amps, things like that.
Wow, that'd be fun, except, of course, wasn't anywhere near Brighton at the time. Anyway, that's life, isn't it? So when you left school, at some stage you made a decision to study a little bit more music. How hard was it to make a decision like that?
Well, when I was in Year 11, I got accepted into the no longer TAFE music program. So I didn't actually have to finish Year 12 to do what I wanted to do, but my parents said, you're going to finish high school, so I did. And I scored. You had to get 55% to pass, and I scored 55%. So I came out with a high school diploma. But the decision to head off that way was pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. And you went to Onkaparinga Institute.
That's what they call no longer TAFE.
Okay. That would have been my guess, but I wasn't sure. Yeah. And what did you learn?
Basically jazz theory, I think, which I didn't really gel with all that good.
Mm-hmm.
But I dropped out of that.
Okay. Did you have to audition or anything to get in?
Yes.
So what did you have to do? What were the hoops?
I just have to have a song prepared, and I got asked to play a couple of different scales, and that was it.
Okay. So you had to at least know your way around your instrument a little bit.
Yeah.
And I guess the amount of homework all of a sudden increased significantly.
Yeah, and didn't do most of it again.
There's a common theme running through the show, isn't there?
A bit of homework avoidance going on, and that's probably because you were listening to lots of music and buying CDs and that sort of stuff.
I was going to see some people I knew play, in a couple of pubs and things like that when I was in high school before I even finished high school, and
And that continued when you were studying at Onkaparinga, because I think that's sometimes an excuse to, use the excuse you've got to go and listen to music and to buy music and
I guess so. Can I play another song?
Well, I guess it's in the end, it's your show, mate.
Cool, thank you. Because I'm feeling a bit more relaxed after that one.
Okay, what are you going to play for us this time?
A song I call "So Cruel." Last night I lied to a girl. She was young, hopeful, not like myself. Much the same though, several years apart. Too naive to fear me, too old to break her heart. So cry as I heard her love. Being so cruel has never been so hard. You don't like to be liked, and hardly love to be hated. Well, sometimes you feel when pain gets too much. I can be fated. Well, sometimes you feel shade darker than my bed. Tried to be friendly, made someone sad. So I cry as I heard her laugh. Being so cruel has never been so hard. Don't like to be liked, and hardly love to be hated. Well, sometimes you feel the pain gets too much. I can't be sated. Well, sometimes you feel so cry as I heard her laugh. Being so cruel has never been so hard. So cry as I heard her laugh. Being so cruel has never been so hard.
There you go. That was the surprise ending.
Yeah, that's where I ended. I stopped playing about there.
Yeah, we were once again waiting for the guitar solo.
There you go. And we're going to just break for promos for a sec. You're back listening to Song Catcher. We've got Dana O'Shea live in the studio. We were just listening to So Cruel. Tell us a little bit about So Cruel, Dana. It's a tough kind of title for a song.
It's about, the story was, a relationship with a girl that went nowhere because back then it was a... You okay?
I can't hear a damn thing. Go on.
Okay. There's a very big age difference between me and this girl, and it was about the when I'm trying to talk to her and say, you know, I don't mean to be cruel, but this isn't going to work.
Uh-huh.
So this is a song from back then?
Yeah, when I was about 19. And the girl would have been about 14, I think, which is back then a huge age difference.
It's a fair way when you're 19 and 14.
Yeah.
It's a quarter of your life at 19, isn't it?
Yeah.
5 years.
So back then, me being wise old man, decided to, give her a hug and say, no.
So who was being cruel?
I was. I was, I felt at the time, to say this is a perfectly wonderful, nice person, but no.
Well, I think there are lots of perfectly nice people out there in the world, but not all of them are necessarily good girlfriends and boyfriends and whatever else, huh?
So it sounds like you started on the journey towards songwriting fairly early on.
Yeah, it's sort of what I did best, I think. I was a better English student than I was a music student. How would I put it? I got caught up in all sorts of terrible things.
So what was it that started you writing songs? Girls?
No, music, actually. I was more interested in guitars than girls.
Uh-huh. Because in your bands, as well as playing guitar, you often played lead guitar.
Yeah.
But there's a point at which you became a singer as well.
Well, I was part of a songwriting duo or two. Mm-hmm. And it just came to a point in some songs I said, no, let me sing that bit. And I found I really liked it.
Uh-huh. So by necessity, or you just weren't hearing what you wanted to hear and you let it rip?
Yeah, something like that.
Very, very good.
But yeah, just bands with acoustic guitars and best one I was in, we had two acoustic guitars, a piano and a cello and four-part vocal harmonies. That worked out quite good.
Mm.
That was a good band. I miss that one.
Sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So the music thing, and once you started writing songs, how did you develop that skill?
I didn't for very long.
You just muddled along in the dark and what came out came out. Is that what you mean?
Guess so, yeah.
Collaborating with your musical partners
along
the way?
Yeah, yeah. I was lucky enough, some of the people at Brighton High were fantastic musicians. And some people there who played other instruments and also played in sort of the rock bands at lunchtime. I got some good friends out of that who were fantastically good. And whenever I wanted to get a band together, I'd find a show and then get together a bunch of people to play it.
Is that the way it works? I've heard it. Yeah, I've heard it. It has worked in the past, and sometimes people have had bands that have just kept going.
I keep quitting them.
It just doesn't quite work out the way you want it?
I don't know. I think it's a different reason every time. But I see a pattern forming, your band getting half decent, me going... didn't work out too good. But, yeah.
Ah, well. In terms of the voice part of it and finding your voice, as well as finding your voice in singing, you found your voice in songwriting.
Yes.
And do the two come together?
I basically only sing and play stuff I wrote, so it's sort of kind of straightforward for me. If I want a song, I'll write it.
And you sing it.
Yeah. And I know a couple of covers, that's it. But... everything else is just, I had this terrible thing happen. I burnt a book that had every song I'd ever written in it. And now I'm still trying to piece together a few of those.
You burnt it deliberately? Or?
Yeah. It wasn't a smart thing to do.
So what was going on in your brain at that point, mate?
I don't know if we're getting ahead of myself here, but that was when... I was starting to get caught up in drugs and alcohol and things like that, and I wasn't very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like a good idea at the time.
So music and pubs and things led you to drugs and sometimes not the best of friends by the sound of it.
Yeah, definitely.
But when you've collected a whole pile of works over a few years, I mean, how many years had you been writing when you burnt this book?
Five.
Mm-hmm. And probably five productive years. You usually start off with a bit of a bang. You start to write and all of this stuff seems to come pouring out.
Yep, all gone. I thought I'd never be able to forget it. I thought I want to get rid of these things that are in my head, so I'm going to burn this book. And I thought, it doesn't matter, they're stuck. But sooner or later, I did forget every single little bit. Well, not all of it. I've tried to piece together a couple of songs since then.
And you have managed to do some of that.
Yeah.
Well, that's it kind of leads us on to where we're going to go next as well, which is we're going to take a track from the Fine Lines band. And I reckon we should grab that microphone and just get it up for a minute, because we've actually, by complete non-planning, she's saying no, that's okay. We've got a track lined up for the Fine Lines, but that's okay. But the Fine Lines band were a product of the Jam, the Mix, the Gig that Rob Petchell runs. And they came out of that. They formed in a sort of, like a collegial way, like a school does, in the sense that these guys got together and they played because there was a gig, so we'll make a band. And, you know, I think Robert does that occasionally. He throws together various people and makes a band. And this one stuck. And they were around for quite a few years. And they were writing and playing and performing, but there was all sorts of odd shenanigans going on in the background because they all had mental health issues, because it was the collegiality was that, you know, we're all in this place with coping with our difficult issues. You know, Marky, the lead guitarist, every time you'd see him, whenever he had a big gig, he had to go to the pawn shop and buy back his guitar, the poor bugger. It's really cruel when you live like that. But anyway, we've got a track called Insanity from the Fine Lines band, and perhaps after this we might let Dana talk about his experiences in that too a little.
Loving and caring were the only things.
was the Fine Lines band with a track called Insanity. And, of course, one of their tracks is called, I think, A Bit of Insanity, isn't it? One of their albums, yeah. Fine Lines, that's what it's about. So, Dana, you started doing music and getting involved in the music scene and playing bands and things, but somewhere along the line, the wheels fell off for you, mate.
Yeah, I mean, it started off sort of very young, smoking and drinking and, you know, getting into other drugs and things like that, and I became an absolute mess. So back then, by the point, I wasn't playing very well anyway, but when that happened, I ended up living in a strange situation, which was like a party that I never left, and eventually ended up hospitalized as a schizophrenic.
So, yeah, some people seem to be able to cope with things like that in their lives, and some people need, I think, from what I've seen, you know, you've heard some bios of people that use a few drugs occasionally because they reckon it helps their creativity and keeps them on the edge, but it doesn't work like that for all of us, obviously.
Nah, I ended up completely insane and doing all sorts of stupid things. But
so it wasn't helpful creatively at all.
No.
Actually stopped your writing.
It's hard to describe, but at that point, I was very focused on what I was doing, but a lot of it wasn't as good as I thought it was anyway. So.
Okay, but you got hospitalised. You obviously took time out from music.
Well, when I turned up there, I was taking guitar with me all the time and playing for the people there, but eventually I just ended up sitting around and smoking and drinking when I could. And yeah.
But in terms of the recovery process, how did you end up getting better and then obviously getting a renewed interest in playing some music?
I was taken to a couple of drop-in centres by a key worker, and one of them was MIFSA, the Mental Illness Fellowship of South Australia, and I turned up there for their 10-pin bowling. And I got told to put your name down on the sheet.
You didn't take your guitar 10-pin bowling, I presume?
No, not yet, not straight away. But I turned up and they were doing 10-pin bowling, and I got told to put my name down on the sheet to make sure I got in next week. I should be there on a Thursday afternoon. And when I turned up on a Thursday afternoon, they had a band there. And I thought, I used to be able to do that. I'll try it again. And I've been doing that pretty much every week for the last couple of years as a result of that.
So you went to hospital, you became a bit stabilised and obviously dried off whatever it was sending you off.
Yeah, no drugs or alcohol anymore. Long time. Even quit smoking.
Do you need prescription drugs as well to keep
tons.
You a bit on the level?
I must admit, a lot, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, but the music thing, how does that contribute? And the MIFSA thing, how do they work together to help keep you well?
Music gives me something to focus on. And, you know, I don't play professionally or anything like that, but I don't have to. And at this point, I'm just trying to make up for 10 years of practice that I lost.
Well, I didn't hear you say anything like that about piano earlier.
No.
You're not trying to catch up on piano.
No, not at all. I used to be able to play one song on piano that I could remember a long time, and that was Sad Liza by Cat Stevens. But I can't even play that anymore.
You do have to practice or it does disappear.
Yeah, I noticed.
It certainly.
Like I said, when I was younger, I sold my piano and bought an electric guitar. I inherited the piano. It was a good deal.
Well, I guess so. So in terms of the ongoing relationship with music and you, does it help contribute to your stability as well,
yeah,
or is
definitely.
The creative thing a problem?
Well, just to put things in perspective, about last week I hurt my wrist, and leading up to this I've been hardly able to play or practice too much. I've been going crazy because practicing guitar is what winds me down.
So the music soothing the savage beast is actually true for you?
Yeah, I think so.
In a very literal way.
Yeah. See, without that, I just go crazy.
Okay. Well,
you started writing new songs again.
First thing I did was try and put back together a couple I wrote before, and I write stuff a bit differently now. Now I sit down, I'll write a song really quickly and finish it and then say, that's it, it's done, it's over. I'm not going to obsess over it for weeks like I would have once upon a time. So that's, yeah.
So a slightly different process, but your brain is working in a different kind of way as well.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't try and do tricky things, which I used to always try and do tricky guitar work and stuff like that, and I found I kept making mistakes, so I simplified everything. And then all of a sudden, writing songs became much more fun. And I've had some wonderful people around me to write songs for and about, like my good friend Lee. I wrote a song for her about the trouble she was having with her vision and how brave she is. And
well, I think it is actually time for another song. So,
oh, cool.
Would you like to play one for us, sir?
I'll play a totally different one, though. Nothing to do with that. A song called Green for the Envy, which once upon a time is the best song I had, and it's probably the only one I could play for a long time, and I had to relearn that even. But anyway, it's I like it. I think it's one of my better songs.
Take it away, Dana.
Blind girl who dressed in blue almost missed her calling. She is pretty, but I'm undone. And no, his heart's been broken. I don't see his picture. I tell you, this is cruel. No matter where the hunt is, so his hope she keeps her cool. As the crowd continues sour, the force to make you whole and feel life savor. Dangers that I know. The colorblind girl who dressed in blue wore a flower by her ear, won't lay her hands aside. Another has her arm. The colorblind girl who dressed in blue wore a smile for my tear, won't lay her hands aside. Another has her arm. Once she heard another, she satisfied my soul. A touch to turn her cold. Could be all I've had to give. I should be no savior. My faults became her own. Better left alone. And I am. So I went green for the envy. Green for the envy. I'm not blue at all. Green for the envy. Green for the envy. I'm not blue at all.
Very sweet.
Oh,
some interesting chords in there too, Dana. So where do some of those chords come from, mate? Are they things that you learnt at Onca Paringa or earlier, no, or out of books or on YouTube?
No. Just play around with notes until they fit.
So you will actually play with your fingerings and work out what's going to work and what's going to work with what?
Sometimes, like most stuff, there's two sides to what I do. One of those is writing songs and having a bit of structure, and the other thing I've always enjoyed doing is improvising a lot. So basically I would write things I want to play over. So the chords I'm picking are chords. If I'm going to be that guitar player playing over the top of that, they're the chords I want.
Okay. So you get creative with how you're going to make that happen.
More so 20 years ago, but these days mostly simpler than that.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's some nice chords in that. Okay, we got to work out.
But you said that was a more recent song, didn't you?
No, I put it back together.
Oh, you put it back together. Okay.
That's one of the lost burnt ones, huh?
Yes, it is.
One of the lost burnt ones.
And there were trickier chords in it before. But,
okay. Yeah. No, but, you know, it's still, you're saying that you very simple these days, but that was, there was quite a structure to that one. So, but as you're saying, it had more structure before, but you've just simplified it a bit.
Yeah.
And certainly made the chords a little bit easier, but there's still a few chords that those finger stretches looked a little bit beyond my poor fingers.
I won't even try and do it again.
He's got to do it in the moment, I think, with the movement happening. Now, we might just have a break and do our next promos. We'll be back in a sec. You're listening to Songcatcher here on Radio Adelaide. We've got Dana O'Shea live in the studio, and it's come to that time of the day, time of the evening, when we have our talk about song. So Dana's going to tell us a little bit about how or why or where he wrote a particular song.
Called Fading Colours.
I actually have my friend, the people at home can't see that, of course, but I have my friend Lee that I wrote this song for sitting right next to me. And the story goes there that through the mental health issues I had, I ended up in a couple of places where I kept bumping into Lee. And we ended up becoming very good friends. And Lee has been struggling a long time with vision impairment, and basically is to the point that she can hardly see at all. But we became fantastic friends, and I've always admired how she deals with these issues. And you know, surgeries that don't work and vision getting worse. And but Lee doesn't dwell on that. Lee just sort of keeps on going and says, I'm going to do this, and it's not going to stop me. And a funny little story, when I was signing up as a member of a group called Scala, her and her husband and I were sitting together to fill out the form, and sadly we realised that Lee, despite not being able to see the piece of paper, had better handwriting than any of us. But this song I wrote this song sitting out on Lee's front porch. They were doing something else sitting inside, and I just said, I'm going to write a song. I wrote a song, guys, I've written a song. And Lee was kind of over the moon that I'd written a song for him.
So this happened really, really quickly.
Yep.
And that's what you try to do these days, is just, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
And bang it out there.
Yes.
Okay. So where do you start?
Two chords, usually, about two chords. Sitting there back and forth until I get a line that I like, and that's either going to be a verse or a chorus, and not always the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So where did this one start?
Like I said, sitting out on Lee's front porch and deciding to write a song.
And two chords.
Yeah, the two chords were these, which is like some... when I've been teaching this song to people, I still don't know what that chord is. I call it like an F-ish chord.
that would be fish then.
Yeah. So that's my fish chord and a D minor. So I'd sit on those for a while and sort of just think of a line. And once I've got one line, I'm set after that. I can normally belt them out really quick.
So the blank piece of paper takes a little while to get over, but the scribble starts.
Yeah, and speaking of scribble, the other thing is my handwriting is shocking. Sometimes I'll write something and not be able to read it again later. So, yeah. But that's part.
I don't know anybody else that suffers from that.
But it's a case of trying to get down really quickly. And when you go really quickly, you look at it and go, I've lost it. Or you go, I've caught it, you know.
Now, you're not particularly a technical guy, so you don't use a mobile phone or a little recorder or anything to capture what you're doing?
Oh, I got a looper now.
You can actually play, except when you're in somebody else's veranda, you probably don't have a looper, I guess.
No. Piece of paper and a pen. Lee, give me a piece of paper, I'm writing a song.
And even more so when it might have something to do with her in it.
Yeah. Well, Lee was kind of stoked with that because, you know, she said it was the first time somebody's written a song for her. And it's by no means, I mean, I love Lee like family, but it's not a love song. It's a I respect you so much song.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
but
a love
when
song,
you say that it came really quickly because you were around there sitting on the veranda and we're talking about you go make a cup of coffee and I'll write a song, or was it you were there for 3 hours or...
No, 10-15 minutes or doing something else. Guys, I've written a song.
So we gave it the big nod and the seal of approval when it happened. So we're having the big nod over there in the corner. Yes, nods away. It went well.
It did.
So in 10 or 15 minutes, you knocked out a song. You scribbled it all down, got it on paper. After that 10 or 15 minutes, as you played it, did it continue to grow and develop, or was it basically fixed at that point?
basically fixed at that point, because that's how I like to try and do things. I don't like second-guessing myself too much, because you can obsess over things for weeks and just debate whether or not it gets any better.
Sounds like sometimes you've had a bit of that.
Yes. Yes, but not these days so much. These days most things are quick.
But it's a conscious thing that you're avoiding, I'm hearing. That's
yeah.
You're saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to get on with it.
Yep.
What about the situation where you're just really happy with everything, but there's one little line that's niggling at you or something, and that needs to be changed?
Yeah, I'm not that obsessive. I'm prepared to change things, but
Fair enough.
Okie dokie. I think it's time to play said song.
Okay. Fading Colours.
This is Fading Colours, written for my friend Lee.
You could see like the others, captivity, world without colors, in the dark there is fear, in the dark I'll hold you dear, take my hand my dearest friend, help you find your way again, what we see isn't always what we show. Take my hand, my dearest friend, help you find your way again, what we see isn't only what we know. Trust me, we will guide you. We are three, he'll be beside you. He is your love, I'm your friend. Given time, we will help you mend. Take my hand, my dearest friend, help you find your way again. What we see isn't always what we show. Take my hand, my dearest friend, help you find your way again. What we see isn't only what we know. You could see like the others, captivity in a world without colours.
So easy to let your fingers do the walking. In this case, just selecting 101.5 FM will get you all sorts of things music-wise. It's Songcatcher right now, and it'll be heaps good for South Australia shortly at about 10 o'clock, I think, instead of Lost and Found. A bit of a change over there. We've got Dana O'Shea in the studio, itching to play us another song. We just heard Fading Colours, and that's dedicated to Lee, who's also in the studio, who we've had to pass the tissues to. But, you know, that's how it works on radio, isn't it? She's pretty touched, I think, that somebody's written a gorgeous song about her, or for her at least. Yeah. Now, you've got another one you want to play for us, Dana?
Yeah, it's not much of a story behind this. I started writing it a long time ago just because I liked those chords, and it's almost the whole thing. It's a slight inversion, but yeah.
He might have some words and things too.
Perhaps, if you're really nice.
Straight ahead and bored alone, silence in the night, looking for you to help make things right. Time spent apart, staring familiar find. More going on like this, with shadows left in my mind. Is it dark? I don't know. Is it dark enough? I hope so. Is it dark? I don't know. Is it dark enough for me to be alone? The future's set in confidence. I'm on your side. Relax, it also attend to long for the ride. Until you go away, I'll remember how I tried. Find words to make you stay, I guess I must have lied. Is it dark? I don't know. Is it dark enough? I hope so. Is it dark? I don't know. Is it dark enough for me to be alone? Given twice a turn, without you I'm in fright. No chance but not deserve, what I've left will still be right. Is it dark? I don't know. Is it dark enough? I hope so. Is it dark? I don't know. Is it dark enough for me to be alone?
Dana O'Shea with Dark Enough. Mm, there you go. We practice that. We're getting the harmonies, yet, Adrian.
There you go.
Now, we're rapidly approaching the end of our show, Dana. People like what you're doing. Where are they likely to be able to catch up with you and hear a bit more, mate?
I think you might have heard of a mob called Scala.
Yeah?
Yeah. Anyway.
You play there sometimes?
I've played there once or twice now. I'm looking to play there some more. Apart from that, not much.
Mm-hmm. Now, the MIFSA thing we heard about, you're still doing that?
Yeah, I still play in the drop-in centre band every week. Mm-hmm. And occasionally the opportunity to play for one of their little events turns up, and you know, that's a good thing to do.
So you're out making some noise with a gang?
Yeah, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Not much, though.
And I think we were just talking about the jam, the mixing the gig with Robert Petchel, and I think you're going to get dragged along to one of those very, very soon as well.
That would be good.
It's a good music session. And Rob Petchel is a great guy, does some wonderful things as well. And obviously the MIFSA music group does too. So there's lots of good things around the place for Adelaide. Way too much.
So do we get in contact with you through Facebook or anything like that?
No,
you don't do that sort of thing?
I'm sorry, I'm not on Facebook. Never have been. I don't know if I will.
Mm-hmm. So you might keep your eyes on the Scala website. You might see Dana's name come up sometimes.
Hopefully, that
and
would be cool.
Not always does the publish the spotlights, and you're doing a few of those, I think, more than the book gig. So you might just have to take a chance and wander down and have a look on a Thursday night. Now, this Thursday
night. Could start with this Thursday night.
So this Thursday night, who's on, Adrian?
Previous Scala president Brian Foley's put away the cap and brought out the guitar.
Okay.
We've also got Taylor Pfeiffer, who will be our song catcher next week, the banjo girl.
So you're going to have your good banjo vibes happening.
I've been listening to banjo all week in preparation, yes.
Well, wonderful.
Indeed.
There you go.
And Self-Preservation Society, Tristan Newson will be. I wonder if he'll be reprising his Naked Cowboy act.
Well, I don't know Possibly about the act, not. But maybe the song at least.
Oh, I don't know.
Mm.
But also Jasmine Birch, who was a recent Songcatcher guest under the name of Jazz, is playing at the Hotel Metro on Wednesday night at 9 p.m. with another local singer-songwriter, Chloe Warwick. So that would be a good one to get along to as well. And also, we've got lots of announcements tonight.
Go on, then.
Because Friday night, we've got another session down at Stone Pony.
Is Willunga. That the Alan Goggle one?
That's the Alan Goggle one with Small Town Romance in support. And that's an acoustic duo.
I saw Alan doing that 15-minute spot at the Guitar Festival last year. I think it was the Dunstan Playhouse or somewhere at the back of there. And wow, he could play.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always something good on down at Stone Pony at Willunga.
If you like to venture even further afield.
A fair bit further afield, but it's worth it. It's got to be worth it.
Kernowek Lawenda is the Cornish Festival that's over on the Copper Coast, and there'll be a bit of, obviously, some Cornish music going on, but there will be a little bit of Irish music as well, and some original music as well, and the Vagaband, the band I play with, is going
featuring
to be playing.
Featuring Clayton. So, yeah, people are definitely going to want to travel that far.
And if you get along on Friday morning, you'll get to see me dressed up as a piskie.
What is a piskie?
It's not a piss take.
No, no. What is a piss take?
Something completely different. I believe it's a Cornish word that means basically pixie or fairy.
Okay.
And I reckon I'd make a fantastic fairy, Adrian. I don't know about you. He's trying not to choke, folks.
I'm thinking more of the Cornish pasties myself.
Yes, the Cornish pasties, I'm sure, will come in for a beating. You could even get Cornish pasty lessons. So if you wanted to make some, if that was your cup of tea. There's lots of stuff going on over there anyway. It's festival time in the Copper Coast, beautiful part of the world.
Indeed.
Possibility. Absolutely. Go and enjoy some. Why not?
So there's lots of other music around too. So get out and listen to some Adelaide music.
Yeah, we're going to love and leave you with an inspiration from Dana. This is the Black Crows. She talks to angels.
Thank you for coming in, Dana. Thanks, and telling us about your songs.
Thank you so much.
Ciao.